Title: Pitch Old School DNB Sub for Rag Infused Chaos in Ableton Live 12 Intermediate. Alright, let's build that classic jungle sub that actually talks. The one that slides between notes, does those little yow moves, and answers the breakbeats like it's part of the drumline. We're going for controlled chaos. The low end stays rock solid and mono, but the attitude lives in the pitch movement and the mids. Set your project tempo to the DNB danger zone, somewhere around 170 to 176 BPM. I'm going to sit at 172, and make sure you've got three things ready. A breakbeat loop, like an amen or a think, an optional kick layer if you want more consistent sidechain control, and a MIDI track for the bass. Quick mindset check before we touch any synth settings. In drum and bass, especially old school jungle flavor, the sub doesn't have to be complicated. In fact, the more the sub tries to be a full instrument with a million notes, the smaller everything can feel. The break edits do half the talking. Our job is to make the bass feel like it's responding to the breaks. Now, on that bass MIDI track, load operator. Operator is perfect for this because it's clean, direct, and it does pitch behavior in a very old-school way. In operator, keep it simple. Use an algorithm that's basically just oscillator A. Set oscillator A to a sine wave. If you want a tiny bit more edge later, you can try triangle, but start with sine so you can hear exactly what the pitch and glide are doing. Set voices to 1. We want a mono vibe. Then find the glide or portamento time. Set it somewhere around 60 to 120 milliseconds. And turn legato on. That legato switches everything, because it means the glide only happens when notes overlap. So you get slides only when you intend them, not on every note change. At this point you should have a clean, stable sub that can slide if you tell it to. Now let's write a two-bar bass riff that feels ragga-friendly. Here's the big rule. You're going to use short notes, and you're going to deliberately overlap a few note endings into the next note start. That overlap is what triggers legato glide, and it's what makes it feel vocal. Keep your fundamentals in a safe range. E1 to G1 is a really solid zone for most DNB. You can go to D1 or C1, but be careful. Lower isn't always heavier once it hits real speakers and real limiter behavior. Build a simple pattern. Something like, E1 hits, a little space, another E1, then a quick hop to G1, back to E1, then maybe drop to D1 for a longer note. In bar 2, you can do a little slide moment, like E1 overlapping into F1, then landing back on E1, and maybe the quick G1 stab near the end. When you overlap, try this as a palette. First, overlap by 5 to 10 milliseconds. That's tight and almost percussive, like the bass is talking in short syllables. Then try 15 to 30 milliseconds, which is the classic vocal slide zone. And if you want a syrupy dub glide, experiment with 40 to 70 milliseconds, but use that sparingly, because it can get sloppy fast at 172 BPM. Before we add any fancy pitch moves, I want you to decide your anchor note. This is the coaching moment that saves a lot of people from random chaos. Pick one note that feels like home, usually the tonic or the fifth of your key, and keep returning to it. When your bass always lands somewhere familiar, the bends feel intentional. It stops sounding like a novelty effect and starts sounding like a character. Now we're going to make it talk with pitch envelopes. In operator, open the pitch envelope section. Set the attack basically instant, like 0 to 5 milliseconds. Set decay somewhere around 80 to 180 milliseconds. Sustain at 0. Release can be tiny, 0 to 50 milliseconds. Now raise the pitch envelope amount. Start with plus 12 semitones, which is an octave up. That gives you the classic pew kind of articulation. If that's too cartoony, try plus 7 semitones for more of a yow that still reads musical. And for pure dive bomb energy, try minus 12 semitones so the pitch starts high and drops fast, or starts low and snaps down depending on how the synth interprets it. Either way, you'll hear that dramatic fall. Here's the key teacher tip. Don't leave that pitch envelope amount on for the entire bass line. If you do, your ears stop caring, and the groove loses contrast. Instead, automate the pitch envelope amount so it only jumps up on fills, call and response moments, and pre-drop stabs. Think like this. Most of the time, the bass is just beating heavy. Occasionally, it speaks, and when you place those moments, be snare aware. In jungle, the snare is punctuation. If you do a big pitch bend right through the snare transient, you can mask the crack, and the whole track feels softer. So place bends right after the snare as a response, or just before the snare as a pull-in, but try not to smear over the snare itself unless you truly mean to. If you want more chaotic control than operator's pitch envelope, you can also use pitch bends inside the MIDI clip. Draw a fast upward flick at the start of a note, like 10 to 60 milliseconds, then a slower downward fall over an eighth note or a quarter note. Just remember, pitch bend behavior depends on range settings. If it feels unpredictable, one easy workaround is to build a rack macro that controls pitch in a consistent way, so you always know what a lot and a little mean. Now let's add edge without destroying the sub. Old jungle bass is often clean down low, but it has a dirty companion in the mids that lets it cut through breaks on smaller speakers. So we're going to split it into two chains, sub and mid. Group operator into an instrument rack. Make two chains. Name one sub, one mid. On the sub chain, drop an EQ8. Low pass at around 90 to 120 Hz, steep slope, like 24 dB per octave. If it feels boxy, do a tiny dip around 200 to 300, but don't overdo it. Then add utility. Set the width to 0 or use space mono if you prefer. The point is, sub stays mono, always. That's how you get weight that translates to clubs. On the MID chain, add an EQ8 and high pass around 120 to 180 Hz. Now you can distort and move this chain without the low end collapsing. Add saturator. Turn soft clip on. Drive somewhere like 2 to 8 dB depending on how aggressive you want it. If you want a more modern, wild edge, you can use roar, but start gentle. Then add auto filter to create movement. Use an LP24 filter and automate the frequency somewhere in the 400 Hz to 2 kHz range. That's where your wah and bark live. If you want extra crunch, add redux, but tiny amounts. Downsample around 2 to 6 can add grit. Bit reduction. Keep it very subtle, like 0 to 2, because too much turns your bass into sandpaper. Now do a quick translation check. Mute the MID chain and listen to sub only with the break. If the groove still works and feels like it drives the rhythm, you've won. If the bass suddenly feels boring and dead, it means the MID chain is doing too much of the musical work, and your subline might not be carrying the right rhythm on its own. Next, we're going to make the pitch movement interact with the break, because that's where the Raga Chaos feels authentic. Pick 2 to 4 moments per 8 bars where the bass does something extra. Classic choices. Bar 4, beat 4, do a little ramp up into the next phrase. Bar 8, do a dive bomb, maybe with a break stop or a tiny gap. Or right after snare hits, do a quick yell response. You're basically writing a conversation between the break and the sub. For arrangement, think in old school phrasing. 16 bars intro, filtered break, minimal sub pulses on the anchor note, then a 32 bar drop, full breaks and the sub riff, then a middle 8 where you switch energy, maybe halftime break edits, and the sub does slightly bigger pitch moves, then second drop, same riff, but more call and response, more little edits, not necessarily more notes. Now, let's add sidechain and sub discipline so it doesn't get flabby. Put a compressor on the bass group, or just on the sub chain if you want it surgical. Turn sidechain on and feed it from your kick. If you don't have a separate kick track, you can even create one from the break transient, but a consistent kick layer makes life easier. Start with ratio 2 to 1 or 4 to 1. Attack 1 to 10 milliseconds. Release around 60 to 140 milliseconds. Time it to the groove, not to a number. You want 1 to 4 dB of gain reduction. Just enough so the kick speaks and the bass breathes. If it's pumping like house music, it's too much for this vibe. Then on the bass group, roll off subsonics. EQ8, gentle filter below 25 to 30 Hz. That's not making it smaller. That's removing stuff that eats headroom and doesn't translate. If you need a limiter, keep it light. We don't want to squash out the pitch movement we worked for. Now comes the part that makes it feel properly jungle. Resampling. Create a new audio track called Resample Bass. Set its input to resampling or directly from your bass group. Arm it and record 8 to 16 bars, while you tweak a couple of things live, like pitch envelope amount and the MID filter frequency, maybe the saturation drive. Here's a rule that keeps it musical. Move only one or two controls per phrase. Jungle feels bigger when changes are bold but not constant. If everything changes all the time, nothing feels like a moment. Once you've recorded, take that audio and put it into simpler and slice mode. Now you can trigger slices with MIDI like instant raga edits, stutters, reverses, one-shot yells, quick dives. And here's a nasty little bonus. Take one of your best yow hits, reverse it, and place it just before a snare. Add a tiny fade in so it doesn't click. That creates a pull into impact effect that sounds like tape tricks, without any tape plugin. Quick list of common mistakes to avoid while you build this. First, pitching the sub too far without musical intent. If every bar is doing octave flips and dives, it becomes a gimmick. Save the biggest bend for no more than once per 8 bars. Discipline equals weight. Second, distorting the full range bass. If you saturate your sub fundamental, you lose that clean floor. Keep distortion mostly in the MID chain. Third, stereo sub. Don't do it. It might sound wide on headphones, then vanish in a club. Utility, mono it. Fourth, no overlaps. If you don't overlap notes, legato glide never triggers and the bass line feels stiff. And fifth, Ben is fighting the key. Even a high pitch move should land back in tune. That's why the anchor note matters. Let's wrap with a quick practice routine you can actually finish today. Make a 16-bar loop at 172. Breakbeat loop plus your sub rock with SUB and MID chains. Write a 2-bar riff and loop it. Then add 2 pitch events. 1 upward P1 bar 4, plus 7 to plus 12 semitones with about a 100 millisecond decay. And 1 downward dive on bar 8, minus 12 semitones with around a 150 millisecond decay. Resample 8 bars while you tweak 2 things only, like yaw amount and mid bite. Slice it. Pull out 3 one-shots, a yow, a dive, and a reverse pull. Then place those one-shots as fills right before snare hits and at phrase ends.